So like I said, first and foremost, we want to connect with somebody. We want to sit there with them. We want to be present. Then when we feel like the time is right and the person's ready, we can talk about encouraging support, right? I know that support isn't readily available everywhere, right? So we might talk about connecting with a counselor, a therapist, a psychiatrist, and that might be really hard to find. We know that there's significant provider shortages throughout the state. We know there's incredibly long wait times. And so the goal isn't for you to become the therapist, and it's not for you to solve the system problems. It's just to help reduce some of those barriers, right? So this might look like, let me help you search, right? Let's figure out who's even available. Let's see who takes your insurance. Or I'll sit with you while you make the first call. Or I'll come with you to your first appointment. Or even knowing when they have an appointment and following up afterwards and asking how it went, right? So small things that can help reduce the barriers that are typically make finding help scary and hard. Like I said, I also recognize that's not gonna always be possible, right? So we can give people other options. And I know that these are probably options that most of you have seen and heard of, but I always like to go over them, right? So we have our national crisis supports. So there's the National Crisis Prevention Lifeline and the Crisis Text Line. So these are available 24/7, free to anybody, and they're confidential. So there are trained providers on the other, or trained volunteers, and with the Veterans Crisis Line, they are trained providers who are going to respond and are going to help through moments of crisis. And these aren't just for individuals who are on the verge of dying by suicide. These are for people going through any sort of emotional crisis, right? They can help. I know that there is some negative beliefs and negative experiences with these national resources. I encourage folks to try again, to try something different. You can call, you can text, you can chat online. There's a lot of options. There's also a lot of local options. So if you're with someone and they don't want to call one of these national resources, there are local hotlines as well, right, that are specific to areas, specific to counties within Madison, that you can be looking up and providing options to folks. There's also warm lines. And I think this is something that folks know a little bit less about or are less advertised. And what these are trained peers that are available just to talk. You don't have to be in crisis. They're also free. They're also confidential. Some of them, you schedule an appointment in advance where you can talk to somebody, but some are just available for you to call. Most of them just ask that you wait more than an hour in between your call or limit your call to an hour, right? So here are a couple options of those. And I think they can be really great just to feel like there's someone there to talk things through with, right? So after we've connected with someone, really helping them kind of bridge that gap between where they're at and where they might want to be with regard to the support in their life can be really helpful. There also might be times when you're still worried about someone's safety, right? You're talking with them and they have a really clear plan of how they want to die by suicide, and they're really intent on dying by suicide, right? So we think of this as a suicidal crisis. And in these times, what we want to do is create time and space. So what that means is we're creating time and space between an individual and their planned method for suicide. So like I talked about, we know that suicidal crises are short-lived, that period of acute risk when someone is most likely to act on their suicidal thoughts. And so we want to create a barrier between the individual in the crisis and lethal suicide methods. We know that this works. There's evidence from a global perspective that this works. So examples of this are the Golden Gate Bridge, right? We knew that the Golden Gate Bridge was a hotspot for suicides for a very long time. And then they put barriers up. Suicides have dramatically increased, right? So there's this thought that if someone has a plan to die by suicide and they're thwarted from that method, they're going to move right on to something else. And that's not the case. We know that if we can stop the plan that someone has, they're less likely to attempt suicide. We also see this in other countries with regard to pesticide use and availability. So in a country where a certain pesticide was a leading cause of suicide, they banned the pesticide and suicides in that nation went down